purpose of this video is to teach you some fundamentals about history and then provide you with concrete instructions of how to do your project. As historians say, this video guides you to get your hands dirty. The tasks involved to complete your project consist of 5 steps. First, however, we need to learn some fundamentals about history. I will first clarify you the ground assumptions of doing research. Thereafter, the first task is to select your case company that you will independently research from a list of freestanding companies from the 19th century. The second task then is to determine the basics about your company. The Excel file from where you will select your case company provides a lot of information. I will show you how to interpret it. With the first task then, we get started with the actual empirical work. I will show you how you will collect empirical evidence from historical newspaper archives. To be very clear here, we study empirical evidence from the time period that the company existed, that is the 19th century. The fourth task then is to make sense about this historical evidence. I will show you how to apply source criticism. Source criticism is a tool to evaluate evidence data critically. This is useful not only for historical research, but for any kind of data. Then we also look at the steps involved when we interpret data in light of conceptual assumptions. That is, for example, Wilkinson company perspective or Jensen Eriksson's society perspective. Finally, we will briefly look into how you transform your research, your findings into your final report. So that is the overview. And now let's look into the first part, the fundamentals about history. So what's history? In principle, everything is very, very simple. We, quote unquote, do history if we, as situated in the here and now, look back at the past and interpret the events that we assume to have happened. However, let's make it a bit more complicated. To repeat, a simple definition of history conceives it as the activation and the use of the past in the present. In turn, the past refers to what objectively happened. However, we do not have a clear window into the past, only an indirect one. What historians then do is to search access to the past via historical sources. Sources here are documents produced in the past. Think of, for example, the email that you might have written this morning. This email can become a historical source for future historians to learn something about the here and now. So historical sources are often just residuals of our times. Then since, as I said, this window to the past is always an imperfect one, and we as interpreters bring ourselves into the interpretation process, as all qualitative scholars do, the history then that we create is always partly biased or presentist. That means it is biased towards the present as we are interpreting the past from the vantage point of today. Note here that histories about a particular past change over time. And this change is because the interests of the ones involved in the production of history might change over time. And this is for the better or worse, of course. Then finally, the product, the output of our historical interpretation is a historical narrative. And here, simply defined, it is a sequence of logically and chronologically related events organized by a coherent plot. And this narrative can be told orally or written down in a book or a journal article. So the problem here, however, is that, of course, the narrative can be structured or plotted in different ways. Consider, for instance, as depicted in the picture on the right-hand side, that we can tell the stories differently. Consider the red event in the center. So we can contextualize this event relative to the green line of developments or the red one. And of course, the decisions to plot the narrative of the red event in different ways might be biased, as I said before. Having said this, what we will do with this project is to construct an analytically structured historical narrative. This is a term coined by Rowlinson and colleagues in a seminal Academy of Management review article. So basically, this means that we use a pre-given conceptual lens to illuminate and explain the historical events and their relationships over time. So in our case, the company perspective or the society perspective, respectively. Now, one last note on historical truth. I mentioned it several times now that the narrative that we create or other historians create may be biased by our times, by our interests or conceptual assumptions. Is this problematic? Partly yes, because the historian's job is to tell the history of things how they actually were, as the German historicist von Ranke claimed. The problem, however, is that from an epistemological point of view, this is impossible. Because, as I said earlier, we do not have a clear window into the past, but only incomplete sources scattered around somewhere, and perhaps we don't even find them. So the goal that we can achieve must be a much more modest one. In this project, we strive for a plausible historical narrative based on verifiable historical sources and also based on an explicit conceptual frame. That means we cannot tell just any history of the company that you're researching, because there is something called the veto power of sources that prevents us to make up the past as we wish. So we will explicitly also acknowledge our conceptual perspective that may bias our narrative. In this way, others can try to interpret the sources and make a judgment whether the narrative that you tell is plausible or not.